Blog Talk Radio.
Tell my testimony. Look what this world has did to me. I lost my connection with the Lord, yeah. It made me feel my soul was lost. Now I'm sitting here thinking that maybe if I change my ways, you forgive me too.
To the Queen's Court, where the Kingdom Woman speaks. This is your host, Prophetess Nadia Plunkett. I am joined by my fellow queens. I am joined by the none other than Ambassador Tina and Queen Vanessa.
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Welcome once again.
Queens are in the house. The queens are in the house. The queens are in the house. And we are so excited to be bringing the Queen's Court to you again each and every Monday night at 9 p.m. If you want to share this information, you want to join in on the show, you want to get in on the discussion, I encourage you to tune into us on www.blogtalkradio.com/Nathan on the Spot. If you're on your internet, on your iPad, on your Android devices, you can always tune in via the internet. If you want to dial in and be able to join in on the discussion, go ahead, dial 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. And get in on the talk. Tonight we are talking about submission. Oh my goodness, that is a huge word, and it means so much, and it has so many different contexts and meanings. You know, the submission as a married woman, submission to your husband, submission to authority, submission has so much implications of submission to leadership in the church. And you know, sometimes it can be really, really difficult to submit yourself, because a lot of times, especially as a strong woman, you feel like if you submit yourself that you're losing yourself, that you're losing your strength. But I want to, through this discussion, we're going to explore, because I believe that when you learn how to submit, that's when you truly, truly, truly begin to walk in authority. So we're about to chop it up and get it going. So Ambassador Tina, Queen Vanessa, what say you on submission? Amen. Did I lose my co-host? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, submission is just, that is such a powerful subject. You know, like you said, it can be taken so many ways. But, you know, to me, when you submit, you know, I'm going to talk about submitting to an authority, not just marriage, because, yes, it is applicable to marriage. But, you know, you submit to authority on your job, authority as it relates to the state you live in, because you submit unto the laws of the particular land. You know, you submit unto the authority of God, which is the highest authority. So you're submitting yourself. You're coming under. You're coming under, and you're acknowledging that someone else has authority. And it's not that you're losing your authority. You still have your power, but, you know, it's basically staying in your own lane. You know, you have to know who you are, and it's you controlling your own power. It, to me, it's that you're becoming meek. You have your power under control, and you're submitting to someone who does have more authority than you do.
But how, you know, one of the things that is, you know, especially with the feminist movement and everything like that, and, you know, I am woman, hear me roar, and the whole concept of, you know, we got Steve Harvey, you know, putting out things like, you know, act like a lady, think like a man, you know, or things like that, where women are, may feel like they have to be, you know, super aggressive or super, you know, out there and just really take charge in order to be, you know, noticed, in order to be validated, in order to, you know, just have to make their mark on the world. And so when it comes to submission, like, you know, it's almost as though, you know, they feel like I've worked so hard to get here. And then now when you say submission, it, you know, it kind of like you're pushing me back down. And but how, you know, do we get to the point do we really get to understand that submission can be a good thing? Because, you know, you can kind of rest in knowing in a certain area of strength in, number one, I believe, in submitting, because that means that you are submitting to an authority, you're submitting to someone who is over you, and not the pressure is off you. So how do we go from, you know, being taught that we have to be, you know, aggressive, being taught that we have to always maintain power, always, you know, command a certain presence and things like that. How do we establish that as queens and, you know, break that mindset that you have to be all hard, you know, and you know, kind of take on the personification of the man in the authoritative role? How do we soften it up and understand that when you come under authority, you really and truly do walk in authority? What do we do? How do we get people to understand that?
I think we have to know who we are, number one. Mm, we have to know our limits, you know, because, and we have to be humble. We have to be humble to that authority. Knowing who we are, not going ahead of authority. We still can be under authority and not override authority, if that makes sense.
Right. It does.
And so we have to be humble, and we have to, you know, respect that authority. You know, we don't have to go out like superwomen or anything of that nature, but we just have to be humble and know, and stay on our lane. That's the thing. Stay in our lane.
And I believe you're absolutely right. But how, you know, here we are. We have the Queen's Court. And we have, you know, we're trying to, you know, establish the mindset of the Queen. And, you know, this is where the Kingdom Woman speaks, because we are kingdom-minded women. We are kingdom-minded people. And even those, you know, who are in the body of Christ or who are in the church or those who are in the world, you know, they, we are bogged down. And you said something, you know, so strong about staying in your lane. And a lot of times we operate outside of our lane because we don't know who we are, number one. So therefore, we don't know what lane we're supposed to be in. So we're all over the place. And then you mentioned something else, which I think is really key and paramount and something that needs to be taught. But again, it absolutely ties into submission. And also Ambassador Tina had mentioned it, you know, being humble. How did we get to a place of humility when we have been bombarded by society who says that, you know, humility is out the door? Submission is out the door. Is go for yours or get left back?
Well, I think it comes back again of just knowing who we are. Who we are. Because society.
How do we identify with who we are? Who are we, as a matter of fact? Who are we really? What do we identify?
So, number one, we're queens, number one. Mm-hmm. So we have to have that mindset.
Right.
We have to have that mindset of we are queens. And that doesn't mean that, you know, because we are queens, that we can just override anything that comes through our path.
So we have to learn, we have to know, and that goes back to knowing our lane. So just because we hold this queenship doesn't mean that we need to be involved in any and everything, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So now how do we understand what our lane is? And I want this, you know, I want for us to be able to put out there, you know, how do we do that? How do we stay in our lane? And I hear that we have a caller on the line that wants to join in on the discussion. So come on, caller. Help us figure out, what does this all mean? How do we as queens and kingdom women and kingdom people, you know, submit to authority, submit to married women, submit to our husbands, submit to leadership? How do we get a handle on this submission thing?
This is Prophet Yehoshua, man.
Amen. Welcome.
Lordy, don't put me up here with all these women. All right, let me use wisdom as the principal thing. Amen.
Yes.
I'm gonna just say, you know, it's taught in the Bible that a woman should submit herself to the husband, but it goes both ways. I think the thing comes is just the society's information that they're feeding a lot of the sisters out there about submission. It makes it seem like if you submit to your husband, you're weak, you're inferior,
yes,
you don't have a voice, you're nothing, you're a child, and that's what the devil wants you to fall into. That's what he wants. That's the perception that he wants you to fall in. That's that box, amen, that he wants you to fall into. And they make you think that, okay, if I submit to this man, that he's controlling me, he's manipulating me. And so if you're a woman, I can't speak for all women, but I'm just going to, you know, go by the way of the Spirit. You know, some women, certain women, you know, feel as, you know, when they've been hurt and then they get into a situation where they have to submit, it becomes abnormal. And especially if it's a man of God, especially if it's a man of God and they've dealt with a bunch of jokers, if they just dealt with a bunch of jokers and you find yourself in a good situation with a man of God. Even if he's a man out there in the street, you find yourself out there with a person who may abuse you, hit on you, and done a lot of things, what ends up happening is you get into a relationship with a good guy, and now no matter how good that guy is to you, it seems like something is not right. It seems like something is.
Wow.
Without even, you know, going on and on and on, amen, because I just wanted to make a comment, amen, but just giving y'all something to feast on. Y'all for taking my call, amen.
Well, I have a question for you, Patrick, and I thank you for your comment, but I have a question for you. How, you being a man of God, and how do you deal with a woman who has been, who had gone through those things, you know, the struggle with submission because she felt like, you know, she was being belittled and she was led in the wrong direction, or, you know, made to feel all kind of ways. So now, you know, submitting, you know, really, really is a strange thing for her because she feels like she's still losing herself because of what she has been through. How do you get that message across to that woman? How would you, as a man of God, you know, since she's already looking at you as a man who, you know, is supposed to be an authority figure, because that's how society, you know, that's how it is. You know, we look at the man to be the stronger one. And how do you portray that message to her, that submission, when you walk in submission, when you submit to an authority, that you actually are built up in authority? How do you get that message across?
Well, I think it's several ways. The woman has to be able to, you know, differentiate the difference, amen. She has to differentiate the dimension of, this is the man that I love, and this is the man that corrects me. You can't accept the love from the man and not accept the correction. If you want to talk about being a man of God now, you know, if you want, I try to give you two different scenarios, in the church, out of the church. If you're in the church, you know, oh, you're an anointed man of God. But then the moment that the Holy Ghost give me a word to go upside your head, I'm not anointed no more. See, it's a twofold thing in this. It has to be the man that not only loves you and not only builds you up, but the man that'll cut you, you know, to get that junk up out you that the devil tried to put on you to destroy our marriage, to destroy our home, to destroy our relationship or our courtship. I don't like to say relationship. Courtship for marriage, for those who, you know, because boyfriend and girlfriend, that's not biblical. but if you're out there in the street, then there's a different guidelines that people out there in the street go by, you know, as far as relationship and just dealing with folks who've been hurt and got that perception the wrong way and stuff like that. When you're in the street, you just don't care. I mean, you just don't care. I mean, you don't care how you make the woman feel, and you don't care. Look, do what I say. And then because that man don't have the Holy Ghost and he don't have the control, most times he'll get physical or he'll get emotionally or verbally abusive because he has no authority on the inside of him to control the situation. So he'll use other means, you know. So.
That's good. Now, Ambassador Tina, how would you help a sister who was going through a situation where she's truly struggling to find herself, and you see that she's, you know, overcompensating in a lot of areas of her life? She's got this whole, you know, she's got this wall up. She's, you know, trying to, you know, the whole "I am woman, hear me roar" type of thing. But she's overextending, and she's in a position where if she would just, you know, cool it down a little bit and learn to humble herself so that she can really fall into an alignment, what kind of advice would you give her to help her to understand that being humble doesn't mean losing yourself, and being humble doesn't mean that you're any less valuable, or what you have to say or what you have to offer is not as good as anybody else's? How would you, you know, encourage that woman of God?
You know, the first thing that I would say to the particular woman of God is that, first of all, to let her recognize that she is, in fact, a queen, and queens do not have to be verbose or to overextend themselves in order to get their point across. A lot of times a queen can exert her authority really without even saying much at all. You know, it's in her presence itself. It's in the way she carries herself. It's in her stance. It's in her walk. It's in her look. And so once you understand these things about yourself as a queen and understand, you really don't have to basically say, look at me, I'm here, and I have the power and authority, but know that you have power. You're able to exert and exude that power under a control, which basically means that you're exerting your power, yes, but you're doing it in such a way that you're not being abrasive to other people. You're getting your point across. People see you, but not necessarily that they have to hear you, so to speak, over everything and everyone. And also just really getting it in internally, in your mind and in your heart. You know what? I know I'm valued. I know I have worth. I know these things about myself. So knowing that, I can do what I need to do without using these methods.
Wow, that's good. And I believe that goes back to Queen Tina, what Queen Vanessa had said. I'm sorry, were you getting ready to jump on in?
Oh, yes, I'm here. I agree with that. I think one of the key things, too, is that the women need to know, because some of them they don't know that they're queens.
Mm.
And so I think encouragement is one of the key factors here, too. Sometimes a woman just wants to be hugged and just to be encouraged, because we don't know where that woman has been.
Right.
So I think one of the keys is just encourage that woman to give her strength, you know, just to let her know that because you are sitting back, it doesn't mean that you're weak.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you're left up. So I think one of the key things is just encouraging each other as queens and allowing to just reach out to that individual.
Right. Now I want to kick it up just a little bit, and before I say what I have on my mind at the moment, I just want to encourage everybody to share the information. If you would like to join us, go ahead and visit us on www.blogtalkradio.com/Nathan on the spot, or give us a call at 347-945-5416. And I believe we have a caller on the line. Caller, come on in.
And
come on.
Hello,
in.
This is Sierra Beverly.
Awesome.
Hello.
You know, I couldn't leave my sisters out there just all by themselves on a topic that can kind of get them kind of hung, because we are living in a society where submission and submit is almost a word that's taboo and nobody wants to adhere to that. So I just want to first say that you ladies are doing such an awesome job. Supporting
you.
That and filling in. I'm enjoying what I'm hearing. I couldn't stay away too long to walk away from my husband to come in and just check and see how things are going. He gave me permission to step away, said he was going to be okay. So
thank
I was able to, yeah, still listening. But he's doing, you know, he's doing well, so we're thankful for that.
Amen.
Amen. We're speaking those things that be not as though they are.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So being who you are, even with me in the position, in the situation I'm in with my husband being in the hospital, the submission is still in place, even though if authority is not able to stand on its own, I still have to submit.
Wow. Wow. And that's
even
so
when submission is, yeah.
It's so powerful.
That's good. Yes.
You were getting ready when you came on, and you said, you know, my husband gave me permission to step away. And so, you
yes.
know, as a queen woman, as a queen and a kingdom woman myself, I completely understood that. But then there might be somebody who's listening and like, my husband gave me permission to do what? You know, what are you talking about? You got to get permission from your husband to move. You know, explain what it looks like. Explain where that's coming from for those who may not, who don't understand what submission is.
Well, it comes from a place where I know that the difference between submission and control.
Right.
There is a vast difference between submission and control. And although the situation could be controlled, when you go through it in a way where you're submitting to, then that individual, after a while, will realize that control is not necessary when submission is present. Because submission is godly. And so nothing can override the rules and the principles that God set. And so, therefore, I realize that submission is more for me. And when I do what it is that God says for me to do, he'll work out everything else. He'll work out the kinks. And so I did step away. I asked for permission to step away. And when I asked for permission, I didn't feel like a little girl. I didn't feel defeated. I'm still powerful. I'm still anointed. I can cast the devil out of every and anything that he puts himself in.
Amen.
So it doesn't eliminate who I am, but it actually increases my power because God is seeing the efforts that I'm doing as far as submitting to my husband, although he's not in a position to operate in authority. It doesn't excuse the fact that I take over the place, but I still act in submission. And so women that don't understand that means to me, it just says that they need to know who they are and what power you all have and how to exercise the power that we have. To exercise that power doesn't mean that we use our body. We think that is the key to bring someone under control when we use our body. You know, you can have it or you can't have it. We think that is the key, but that's not the key. When you know who you are as a queen, your standards are high. And because your standards are high, you raise up the standards as to how you're treated. And when you raise up the standards how you're treated, you submit. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm humbling myself. I'm submitting myself. And then, therefore, you get so much more. You get so much more when you learn how to submit. You gain so much more. But the more you mouth, the more you fight against authority, the more you do things, you don't get the end results that you're looking for. But when you begin to use wisdom and submission,
right.
Queens, work it. Work what you're giving you. Work it. Just got to know how to work it. And so I'm enjoying what I'm hearing. But I had a question that was proposed to me by another sister. And it was dealing with a man of God that is saying that God is telling him to divorce her. And he's calling her all out of her name and not presenting himself in a manner of which one would think that a man of God should act. And she's wondering, how does she submit to that?
Queen Vanessa.
Well, I would say prayer. I would say prayer first of all. Because God is first. So, you know, sometimes we have to go to the throne.
Right. We always need to go to the throne.
Some do and some don't.
Yeah. Right. Some of us go to the throne. Exactly.
You know, I think prayer. And also just, that's a difficult one because I can kind of relate to that. And one of the things that I would say is that you have to let God lead you through any situation that you're going through because sometimes we take over the situations ourselves.
Right.
You know, and we don't think clearly, so... Sometimes we have to just move out the way and let God handle it.
Right. That's where wisdom comes in. That's where wisdom really comes in and understanding, you know, when to just, you know, settle yourself and really seek God on the matter because we can really, really, really get caught up in our emotions and based on our emotions. And we can do more harm than good. So prayer and wisdom is definitely going to be the key to addressing that situation. And not being hasty. You know, it's easy to want to hurry up
with the
situation, but sometimes we just got to not be hasty and wait to see what the end is going to be, to see what the resolve is going to be. Wait on God to deliver that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I agree.
I totally agree with that, that we have to use the wisdom of God to guide us through these rough times. And not only just use the wisdom of God, but we got to trust what it is that God tells us. I was sharing with someone today where I will look for God to speak to me, and when God would speak to me, I would question what it is that he would tell me to do, because he didn't agree with what it was I wanted to do myself. And so we have to trust God and what he tells us to do, because he sees the final outcome. We're looking at the situation, but he sees the outcome. He sees the end result. And so because he sees the end result, we have to trust what he say, although we may not like what he tells us. We may not like the instructions that is given to us. And if we trust him, the outcome would come, and it would be in our favor. Because just because someone says something today, the Bible says that too, and I know we have to, you know, kind of be careful with certain things that we say. But, you know, there's a scripture that says that the heart of a king is in the hands of God, and he turns it any way that he wants it to go. And so with wisdom, we pray for his heart, we pray for his mind, we pray for his decision, and we're going to give it to you. And whatever the outcome is, I trust you and walk by faith and believing that God is going to fix it. But I also learned that we got to not seek the advice of ungodly counsel, because that is what is ruining a lot of marriages. It's queens talking to the damsels. They're talking to the ones that keep the courts. You know, they ain't had no experience on the queen's level. So when you talk to someone who's not on your level, you have to be careful of the advice that you get. You know, because they're speaking from the level that they're at, and you're looking for advice from the level that you are. So the only one that can advise the queen is God or the king.
Or another queen.
And so, sometimes we have to do the thing that's the worst thing to do for sometimes for us women, the worst thing that we can do is just keep silent.
Amen.
Trust God and let God fix that, because we'd be the first one. Who do you think he's talking to? He don't be coming at me like that. He don't talk to me like that. You know, I'm going to let him know I'm just as grown as he is. But God is saying, I told you to be quiet. I'm fixing it. You just added to it. Now I got to come and clean up behind what you just said.
So that's the thing of being submissive, because when you do that, you being submissive to God, because you sitting back and you listening, you submitting to him, to his word.
Correct. Yes.
That's it.
I agree. So a woman that is submissive knows how to control her emotions.
Yes.
That was deep right there. That was deep right there. A woman that is submissive knows how to control her emotions.
Yes.
And the submission is not necessarily to a man, but it's just for anyone that's an authority figure. You have to learn how to submit. It could be a boss. It could be your parents. It could be someone that's a church that's a leader in another area at the particular fellowship. And you may know how to do it better, but you ain't the one that's in charge.
That's it.
Amen. That's it.
So you don't have to learn how to submit, even if you know a better way to do it. You have to still know how to submit to whoever is in authority, even if you have a better idea or an easy way to do it. You just have to step back and say, this is not my parade.
Knowing your lane. That goes back to knowing your position. And knowing how to handle your baby.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that goes back just to say, we have to know when to speak and when not to speak.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a question.
It's standing in our lane. Absolutely.
Yes.
I have a question I want to put out there. How do you submit when your king's weakness is visible?
Say that again, sis.
How do you submit when your king's weakness is visible? When his weakness is exposed, how do you, and you know that he's weak in certain areas, and his authority is not where it needs to be, whether it be by an emotional, whether it be spiritual, whether it be physical, if you can see it, how do you still submit?
Hello?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're getting some haptic feedback here.
That was a deep question. You dug deep for that one.
Okay.
That's real deep, and I think when you come to that point, see, we're supposed to pick up. If it's our husband, if he has a weak spot, then that's when we're supposed to come in.
Mhm.
And lift him up in those areas where he's weak at.
Right.
Lift him up. So it's a matter of building that person up in the areas where they're weak at.
Right. Right. And I'm, you know, what just came to my mind is, you know, the story of, and although it is not necessarily, and it could be, you know, related to submission, but I'm reminded of the story of when Noah and his son came and found him uncovered, and then his other son came and, you know, kind of backed in and covered him up so that he would not be exposed. And so just like we were saying, it's just, you know, when we identify an area where our king or our leadership or the authority that's over us is, you know, weakened and it's a visible weakness, then it's not for us to, you know, to pour salt in that area. But it is for us to, as queens and kingdom women, to go ahead and to cover that. And we cover that, I believe, in prayer. We cover that, you know, when we, by encouraging them, by, you know, even as Deborah had to, you know, help Barack get into position. You know, so it's not for us to come and say, well, oh, you're weak and you can't do anything right and I'm always having to take care of this for you because this not. No, it's, you know, gently guiding and saying, okay, you know what, I'm here for you. Let's work at this together till you can stand on your own in this area. Mm-hmm. So it's still knowing your position. It's still, you know, covering that area and not lording it over them or taking advantage of the fact that they are weak in that area. You know, I know the word says that, you know, as women we cover our husbands in the area of, you know, when we pray over them, when we cover them. And so it's not just in the area of marriage or in relationship, but also, you know, it could be the, you know, your boss or your supervisor. It could be any other type of situation where there's an authority. You know, your supervisor is not going to look at you any greater if you're constantly exposing their faults and their weaknesses. But the more you make your supervisor look good, is the more they're going to like you.
Correct.
Amen. So you're actually building that person up.
Exactly.
You're building them up in the areas that they need to be built up in, you know.
Exactly.
And I also believe that it's your presentation. You can still be submissive, and share areas of concern in a matter of which that you're still being submissive in it, and it's in your presentation. You're still submitted, still recognizing that that's still the authority, even though there's a weaker side of it. You're still in your presentation, making it still, it could be their choice. It's still their decision, but this is how I see this. I saw this here. I'm not really sure if you were aware of this particular situation. You made a decision here, but I don't think that you was aware that if you do this, that this is going to happen. So I just wanted to present it to you. The decision is still yours, but I just really wanted to present that to you so that you can be aware of it. So he has to step back and say, oh, wow, I didn't think of it that way. Or the boss can say, oh, I didn't see that view. you know,
right.
or whoever can say, oh, I didn't see that view. I think it's all in your presentation and how you talk. A queen has to maintain her integrity at all times.
Amen.
Awesome. That is powerful. That is powerful. That we have a caller on the line.
Yes. I think we have another caller on the line.
Paula, what say you on the topic of submission tonight?
Praise the Lord, it's Evangelist Williams.
Amen.
Evangelist Williams.
Just in court calling to encourage my sisters in the Lord, my queen.
Amen.
You guys are doing an awesome job. Awesome job. Awesome job.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Evangelist.
Submission takes humility.
Yes.
Submission takes humility. It takes a lot to be submissive, especially if you're a strong woman and you have a strong character.
Yes.
It takes a lot of prayer and a lot of relying on the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And you were talking about the weaker husband. What I love to do, that's me, myself, I like to pray over them when they're sleeping.
Yeah.
Just encourage them, you know. If the Bible says a sanctified wife sanctifies a husband, so your actions speak louder than words.
Right.
Amen.
And so, you know, being, you know, a humble wife, draws a man. You know, at one point in my marriage, when I was married, you know, we went through the thing where, how was church? Well, you should have been there. Well, you know what? I wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
You know, but that's not going to bring him to the church. You know, honey, it was nice. You know, I pray that someday you'll be by my side, you know, whenever you're ready. But I'm going to go in the kitchen now and cook your dinner. You know what I'm saying? Love covers a multitude of sins. And I believe that's what draws a man. Just encouraging him no matter what state he's in, what state of mind. If he's a weak Christian, you know, if he's not a Christian at all, some women marry men that aren't saved at all. And so it takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of love. And you just have to love them regardless of what state they're in. You just have to love them and not throw it up in their face. Well, you didn't hit me. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's not going to gain you any ground. You know, you honor God, and if you honor God, he'll work on your behalf. And I'm divorced. I've been divorced for 13 years. Do I desire a husband? If the Lord says so, yes. If not, Jesus is my husband right now, and I'm having a good time with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I'm having a good time being single. You know, I got my books and my Bible on my bed. I got no one to bother me. You know what I mean? But if the Lord, if he desires for me to have a husband, I know how to treat one now because I've been through it before, and I've had that lesson of what to do and what not to do. And the one thing that I do know is submission takes humility. You have to be humble.
Yeah.
You have to be humble. You know, no matter what they throw at you, you have to remain humble and you have to be quiet. You know, that silence speaks volumes.
It does.
You know, and it speaks volumes. And it's like it makes them wonder, well, why is she so quiet? Why isn't she reacting? You know what I'm saying? So it just speaks volumes. And it's just like Jesus said, turn the other cheek. You know, and you have to learn just to be humble because women can really be vicious if they choose to be. You know, and it'll push a man in the corner. You know, I heard T.D. Jakes teach a message a long time ago about, you know, those men that got beat down by their wives and they just end up in the corner twiddling their thumbs watching their life go by. You know, and you could do that to a man. You can bring him down to his knees. You know what I'm saying? And you just take away his manhood. So, you know, I don't want a man like that. I want a man that's, you know, my former pastor, we had a marriage counseling session, and he asked me what kind of man I wanted. I said, I want a man that prays with me. I said, I want a man that labors with me in the vineyard. I said, I want a man that stands by my side. He said, you want all that? I said, yes. He said, you know what you're asking? I said, yes, I do. I said, because I've had the other, you know. So I want someone that's going to, you know what, honey, it's time to pray. Honey, it's time to fast. I want that. That's what I want. You know, I want that man of God, that man that takes the authority. I don't mind. I don't think being submissive is weak. I think it's a beautiful thing when a man honors his wife. I think it's a beautiful thing when he loves, you know, he loves you like Christ loves the church. That's a beautiful thing. It's not a weak thing. You know, it's a beautiful thing. I like for a man to sit next to me and just play in my hair and talk to me and tell me how beautiful I am. You know what I'm saying? It's just that to me.
Oh, watch out there now.
You know. You know what I'm saying? So I've learned how to be submissive. I've learned what it takes to keep a man by having the wrong type of man. So, you know, it takes humility.
It does.
Tina,
are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Awesome. What do you say about, you know, submitting to the a king or the authority in your life, whether it be on the job, whether it be in a relationship, that is weaker? You know, how do you handle that situation?
Submitting to authority doesn't weaken you. It doesn't make you weak. But, you know, it goes back to knowing who you are as a queen, who you are as a person, knowing your own personal value. When you know that, you know, there's sometimes where you know, people may push those buttons of yours, and instead of opening your mouth and cutting them with your tongue, you be very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And in your silence, there's power, because that disables the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's a disabling mechanism, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes you can draw them in and mm-hmm. then present the issue to them in another way where they're more receptive to speak to you.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. instead of trying to hit them over the head with a hammer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, suppose, you know, mm-hmm. when somebody whose weakness is exposed, though, who should be operating in authority, but they're not operating, they're not in that capacity.
Well, you know, when you understand that, you know, what should be and what is are two different things. We all know mm-hmm. what should be, but oftentimes that may not be the case. And instead of exposing, and instead of throwing that in someone's face,
mm-hmm.
you know, providing another position, a position of support, a position of encouragement, a position of a different viewpoint, but let yourself provide it in such a way where you're not damaging another person, where you're not making them feel less than or somehow devalued. Don't devalue them in just trying to get your point across. It's not necessary. You know, that goes back to understanding who you are, whose you are, being at peace with yourself.
Right.
Being at peace and knowing that your meekness is not weakness. It's you. It's having your power under control.
Right. Mm-hmm. I like that one right there. Knowing that your meekness is not weakness. I love that.
Okay.
That is good. Now, I'm going to share something that it took me a long time to deal with. I was pretty much, I'm not going to say that I was a hothead, but I have very, very, you know, I have a very, very low tolerance for things. And so I can be very, there was a time when I was very, very quick at the mouth. And it didn't matter who it was. I was a bit money, you know, in leadership. And, you know, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not also not proud to say it. But, you know, there's been time when I've even gone toe-to-toe with my own father, my own mother. And, you know, kind of release some things just because, you know, it is what it is. Or that's what how I felt at that time. And so as I matured, one thing that I battled with was learning how to hold my son, because, you know, I just felt like I had to say what I had to say when I had to say it, and it didn't really matter, you know, whatever, what came up came out. And I used to struggle a lot with that, and aligning myself back, you know, in a position where I submitted to the authority of my parents, and I submitted to the authority of, you know, my husband or whoever it was, and always, and not having to say something, but I would boil at the thought of not being able, not necessarily not being able to say something, but because I was trying to keep it in. And so I wrestled with that for a long time because I felt like I was, you know what I'm saying, I was not being heard or was not being taken for granted because you didn't hear what I had to say or because I had to close my mouth. And so I wrestled with that for a long time. But then when I realized that all the popping and the bumping at the gums didn't do anything for the situation, I began to look at it in a different way. And I actually began to, where I felt powerless because I couldn't open or because I was trying so hard to keep my mouth closed, when I began to shift my thinking, when I began to shift my perspective and cool down long enough to look at things from a different set of lenses, I became powerful.
So you had to use wisdom.
I had to use wisdom. Time, maturity, growth, you know, the Lord had to sure enough deal with me a lot. But, you know, because I really, really felt like you had to hear what I had to say. And, it, you know, and I, looking back, I can say there was a lot of times when I definitely devalued the authority in my life. Because, you know, just firing off and being a firecracker. But, and then I went through, like I said, went through that transition where I was, you know, going through a humbling stage where I had to, you know, learn to close my mouth. And but even that boiled me because I wanted to so release. But then when the Lord began to deal with me and I came to this position where, okay, I realized that it's not that I'm powerless, but because I have self-control, I'm powerful.
That's good.
Part of that problem too is you're a prophetess. And sometimes when we don't know our calling or God is working on our calling, we want to speak, but we don't know why we want to speak. But it's the calling that wants to speak.
Right.
And so you have to learn the calling, and you have to learn your gift and understand it. And that's where wisdom comes and knowledge comes. So you understand that that's the gift, because I was very chatterboxy. And my granddaughter is very chatterboxy. And my parents couldn't understand it because I always had to have the last say. And I was, you know, and I was very mouthy. And my father said, "Why she always got to have the last say?" But I didn't know I was the evangelist, and it was the gift. And they didn't recognize the gift. But now I recognize the gift in my granddaughter. So now I have to nurture her and say, you know what? You don't have to spill out all the information. Keep some to yourself, you know. they don't need to know all that.
Right.
You know, no. So now I know how to train her up. The Bible says to train up a child in the way that they should go. My parents didn't know how to train me, so I was a very mouthy individual, you know.
Right.
And it was like, she got so much mouth. But I had to learn it was the gift that was speaking.
Right. So submit to the gift.
That's it. That's it. And so now that I recognize it in my granddaughter, I know how to train her the right way.
Right.
Wow. Now, I have a question. I have a question. And the question is, the financial status of the king. The principle of the queen's submission. So when there is a financial status of my king, what principle should a queen, the submission, that a queen has to use. You know, a lot of us is going through financial problems or, you know, there's...
That's a good one.
How do we submit?
Wow.
When there is a financial problem.
Right. We even listen, you went there. You went there. That's a good
one. You know,
one.
Because we may, you know, a lot of us may be the breadwinner, you know. And so sometimes we feel that we have that certain authority over the king. Because we either bring in more money.
Right.
So how do we still submit to that? Because he, you know, he's the king.
Right.
He's the covering.
That's a really good one. Now, I'm going to say that there was a time when it was a two-income household. You know, I was working, I was earning my own and holding my own. And, you know, this before, you know, I fully, you know, was walking in the kingdom mindset. And I had this, you know, I didn't necessarily mind putting into the household. But my way of thinking then was that, okay, you're the man. You handle the household and I'll handle, you know, the shopping, the having fun, you know, and that kind of a way. And so I always, at that point, looked at it like, okay, well, you and truthfully, and my husband did not have a problem, you know, handling the household and things like that, and didn't really stress me, you know, putting towards things. But still, there was an imbalance. There was an imbalance. And so, but that was my mindset at that time. You know, I still, you know, I would take all the kids and, you know, the shopping and the this and the that. And but I wasn't really worried about the bills necessarily because I just felt like that was his responsibility. Now it's a one-income household, you know, and my king is holding it down. And so I, you know, and as a, not to say that the tables have turned, but again, maturity has come along. And so, you know, we have discussions, you know, well, I need to take care of X, Y, and Z. And if he says, no, we can't do that, then I don't circumvent that. And I don't have a problem with not circumventing that. You know, because I understand that he doesn't make sure that not one thing is skipped a beat. You know, the roof is forever over the heads. The children are always taken care of. Yes, there are times when I would like to go and do a little bit extra and things like that. And just because things, you know, you have to put things in perspective. But I, even though I may at times like, oh, my goodness, I really would like to do X, Y, and Z. But the man of God says it's not in the budget to do X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I still want to do X, Y, and Z. It's not in the budget to do X, Y, and Z. And so I may, you know, kind of, you know, get a little agitated on the front end, not, you know, necessarily expressing it, but then I sit down and ask God and I talk to, you know, I say, okay, well, I really want to do X, Y, and Z. And he always brings me back, okay, he's carrying a load. And so you have to understand that, you know, he understands the budget and he understands what's going on and he knows what's coming in and what needs to go out. And so I just, you know, ease into it and I say, okay, well, Lord, you know, if it's for me to have the extra to do X, Y, and Z, you'll provide it. So and it was hard because when you talk about money, and you talk about money in the church, when you talk about money in relationships, I mean, you're talking some heavy hitting stuff because people are money. And it doesn't matter if you're married, if you brother and sister, related or not related. When money comes in, it can definitely cause a huge divide. So you have got to really be, you know, have a kingdom mindset and be able to submit. And even in that submission, it does not mean that, you know, like, oh, because you don't, it's not yours, that you don't have to say so. Because we converse about everything, you know, including the finances. And although I may not always agree, we still converse, you know. And so there's a time when we may agree to disagree. But it's a difficult thing. At least, I'm on my side, but I've learned to submit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
I think that's a good point. I think a wife has to be submissive and not idly sit by her husband. You know, I think it's a family decision. You know, that a healthy marriage is when the husband and the wife sit down and work as a team, you know, right. And they agree upon, you know, make the decisions for the household. And if it comes to the point where the husband makes a decision, he makes a decision, and the wife just has to be, she can't overstep the boundaries. She has to submit and say, okay, you know, you're the head, and I have to be submissive to what you decide because you handle the finances. You know, you know what's needed. And I think that, you know, it comes back to humility again and being submissive.
And I think that you always have to let him feel that he is the head, you know, because sometimes when the other person is carrying on that load,
right,
you know, sometimes they start to dictate to that other person.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when you have to still be submissive to your king, to say no matter what the income is, whatever income he is bringing in, that he still has that authority.
Right.
You know, and that you still make him feel that he's great. You know, you don't want him to feel that he's less because of the financial problem.
Right.
Why?
But we still have to be submissive no matter what the situation looks like. And sometimes it's hard, you know, for us to do that.
It is. It is. And we just have to always, you know, keep things in perspective. Submission is not an overnight thing. But submission is a comfortable thing. It's something that it constantly has to be worked on and worked at, you know, because there's going to always be different situations and circumstances that are going to come up that are going to challenge your humility. They're going to challenge your position, that are going to challenge, you know, the reason why you submit, that are going to challenge, you know, your viewpoint as to who you submit to. So it's really, you know, it's the same thing as the Word of God says, that we have to pick up our cross daily. You know, we have to kill this flesh. We have to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ daily. And so the same thing when it comes to when we have, you know, areas in our life that we have to submit, you know, it's a continuous, perpetual process of humbling yourself.
Yes, that's a key word.
You know, I don't believe to submit without humility, and not humility, but really and true, and not a humility that is degrading, not a humility that causes you to have low self-esteem, but when you have a certain security, there's really a certain security in humbling yourself. There's a certain security in submitting and saying, you know, I feel safe here, and because I feel safe here, I can submit here.
And then I still go back to encouragement, you know, because that's what I do with my husband, you know. It's been many times where I did take on the load, but I still encouraged him.
Right.
You know. So encouragement goes a long way to say, okay, honey, you know, I know things look bad, but I'm there for you.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just don't, you can't have that attitude. But as queens, we see things different, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sister, can you hear me now?
Yes.
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 I got knocked out. I have a question. I have a question, but I wanted to bring up something that I was trying to say before. And sure. I think that as we're walking into our queenship, before we become the queen, I think it's so important that we use wisdom in our as we're being approached by the king to make sure that this is the throne that we're supposed to, or the kingdom that we're supposed to participate in. Meaning that before I become a queen, I need to find out how do you handle finances? I need to know what is your vision on finances before I become your queen. How do you see things so that we can make sure that we are the same thing? That way you'll know if there's some compatibility. It's your interviewing process. You know, we can't be so excited to set ourselves down on a throne because it's a king that's approaching us. You know, we can't be, oh, I'm going to be a queen and be so excited. No, we need to find out if that vision that king has fits the place that I am and the character and the integrity I walk in, that it fits it. So we have to sit back and instead of trying to find out what's your favorite color and what name did they call you instead of us trying to find out the real basic stuff, we need to get down after a certain time, use wisdom to get down to the real nitty gritty. Look, I'm going to be spending the rest of my life with you. What is your view on finances? What is your view on children? You know, what is your view on outlaws and in-laws? What is your view on these different areas? So that we'll know how to be, how to submit and learn to submit, even if the views are different, to know how to submit to that. So I wanted to also throw that in there. It's in the engagement process that these are questions that we need to ask. What is your view for marriage? How do you view marriage? Because not everyone had good examples. Not all kings seen kings in full operations. They might have seen some jokers. And some non-kings in position. And so, you know, now they're trying to operate in a place that they don't have the experience in. And so as queens, we may have to show them in a submissive way how to operate and how to flow without taking away their authority. So that was what I wanted to submit in, or the question I wanted to ask. But the true question I wanted to ask is that how do you submit to a king that uses drugs and drink alcohol?
Ooh. Wow.
That's deep.
That's deep. Can I take that one?
Yes.
I had to submit to it. I had to submit to a king that used drugs and alcohol. It was tough. And I won him. The Lord won him over. He did become a minister. He did get his act together, and the Lord did use him. And the Lord gave him favor, favor. But he chose, that spirit of jealousy jumped him when he saw me going forth in ministry. And that spirit of jealousy jumped him. And from that point on, it was difficult. No matter what I did or what I said or how humble or how submissive I was, that spirit was on him, and he just took it and ran. And I stayed with him for a while, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to me through a prophet, and he told me in 3 days I'll know. And in 3 days the Lord gave me evidence that he had committed spiritual and physical adultery, and I was free to walk. But I stayed in that marriage until God said it was time to go. And I stayed humble, and I did that wifely thing, that wifely duty, and took care of him. We're 13 years later, he came back to me, and he apologized and told me he did not know what he had, and he should have fought for me. And he said, with all I put you through, he said, you should be 6 feet under. And he said, God has really kept you. And he said, I am just so proud that you stayed with the Lord. So, and now he's still fighting, but we have a relationship now that was better than when we were married. We respect each other, we honor each other, and God is doing a work in his life. So it's possible. to, you know, to get stay in a marriage like that. But when God says it's time to go, it's time to go. And you, when you can do all that you can do, you know, you just have to walk away. I didn't want to walk away because when I took my vows, I was 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I waited. And when I took my vows, I was serious about it. And it was still death do us part. And and I stayed with him and stayed with him. And then the Lord told me it was time, that there was nothing more that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
But I did. I was a submissive wife. I was humble.
I wanted to, if no one else has anything to add to that, I wanted to ask a question. So I'll just pause because I have another question to ask. That it goes along with what she's saying. It goes along with the question about the drugs and the alcohol. But I want to ask this question: how do you submit to a king that's in the church, but is stuck under the rulership of tradition and religion? And God has set you free.
That's one of the battles. That's really difficult. That's really difficult. And we, you know, and here's where, you know, it would be kind of really hard because you're trying to stay and walk, you know, under the submission of your husband, under the submission of your marriage. And but you've moved on. God, you know, has elevated you, and you have, you know, broken free of tradition and religion. You know, that's a difficult one. You want to go, and you want to walk in your freedom, and they may not be yet. So it's really hard to find that balance. That's really difficult. Personally, my husband is not in the church yet. You know, I'm still yet claiming that. But I do give God glory and thanks that he allows me to go, and he actually supports me in ministry in many, many ways. But so I'm able to freely do what I need to do ministry-wise. So I don't necessarily, you know, tackle that issue, but I can, you know, you would almost feel as though you're in bondage because you're trying to and walk in your liberty, and they're not there yet, and so you're still trying to maintain your submission to what they desire. So that's really, really, you know, a serious situation. I think it would take a lot of communication and talking to, you know, and prayer and seeking the Lord, and also seeking, you know, husband, seeking your king on that, and, you know, and just really expressing that, you know, here I am, you know, I understand that you have not, you know, broke free. You have not walked in your liberty yet. And I pray that you will get there. But would you, you know what I'm saying, in the manner of not having me as hindered, Would you allow me to go forward? Would you have enough strength to allow me, and confidence in the God in me to allow me to go forward in my liberty?
Mm-hmm.
And to do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be my conversation to my king.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to drop another bomb. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
You ready? We're holding on.
Okay. I'm coming with some bombs.
About to have a boom.
So here we go. Look, here we go. Boom. Here we go. Okay. Okay, I'm married to a Saul who is trying to kill my ministry. Every time I pray, it's a problem. Study, it's a problem. Do I leave or do I stay?
Ooh. Ooh, come on now.
Wow.
Whoa, Lord,
wow.
Help me.
Let.
Oh. Wow.
Hmm.
Mm. But you know what? What did David do? What did David do? Standing in due season, the Lord will exalt you.
Yes. Yeah.
Standing in due season, the Lord will exalt you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how does a wise woman build her house around that type of situation? Does she find a different time to pray and study so it won't be a problem?
You don't always have to pray out loud.
Right.
You can pray to yourself. You could pray softly. Look at Hannah. She prayed softly. You know, you don't have to pray out loud.
Yeah.
How about the studying?
Hide the scripture in your heart. If you're in your car and they're not in the car, play a Bible tape. Play something. You know, worship when you're going shopping. If you're out in the store, you're out with your children. When he's not present.
Yeah.
Get it in when you can get it in.
Right. Find those quiet moments where, you know, those secrets where you can peel away and get into your word and draw strength from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you're in a situation like that, you're going to need to draw strength.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You may
when
have to have your magazine with the Bible in between. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You might have to do one of those moves. Sometimes the word says you can't always let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
Right hand's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
So is that grounds of me to leave? Do I have grounds to leave or do I stay?
It's not abusive. If it's not an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm. But what if it was abusive? Not physical, but mentally.
Right. And, you know, that could kind of be, you know, it's almost like a silent abuse. You know, it's an emotional abuse.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're you know.
Stealing your liberty.
And it could be bondage. It could definitely be, you know, equated to bondage.
But you know, there's some women who don't use wisdom. They use their attitude. Look, I'm doing this for the Lord, and I'm reading for the Lord, and I'm doing this for the Lord, for the Lord. And so we get an attitude, you know, what you took it for. This is for the Lord, and I got to do what the Lord tells me. Versus, you know what? Yes, you know what, you're right. Because sometimes we can be so involved in what we're doing that we don't realize that we're neglecting our own family. I've seen it happen where we've done it so much that we neglect our family, but because we doing things, you know, there's a thing that's called, you know, all things are lawful, but they're not,
it
could be the right thing, but they're not be the right time. So so we have to use wisdom even in that to get it in where we can get it in and, you know, to still love on him until, you know, be like, one day, baby, I don't understand what the problem is. Can you just share with me so I can understand? Because I don't want to offend you with what it is I do, but this is the area that makes me happy, and this is the area that keeps me, you know, where I'm joyful, and it gives me the peace that I need. So is there a way, can I still do it but at certain times? Is that okay with you that I can still do that? You know, just including him in and letting him know that this is something that will make you happy.
Right.
I think that's another caller.
We got a caller.
Yes, ma'am. I'm a new listener. And I just wanted to say I've been blessed by everything that's been shared today. And I just think this is an amazing thing that a lot of women, more women need to know about, because it's very encouraging, and it's very, it's something that I think is needed, to be honest.
Bless you.
And the topic of submission as a young woman, you know, I've been married to my husband for 7 years, and, you know, I'm dealing with the whole, you know, the drug thing and the whole finance thing. You know, I stopped trusting him with the finances because the money would be spent for the marijuana and the alcohol. And, you know, my thing, I've come to a place to where I've understood the importance of the power of prayer as a wife. Yes. I've come to a place to where I've understood the importance of effective fasting, because you can fast and there be no power behind what, you know, in your fasting. So I've come to the place where I've understood that, you know, there has to be truthfulness and there has to be dedication to those things that God has called for us to do as wives, you know, with regards to being a helpmeet to our husbands. My battle comes in when I'm trying to be that helpmeet and my husband is still saying, God has told me to divorce you because God is trying to work on me, but yet while you're saying that, you're getting higher and higher every day. You're drunker than a skunk every night. You're cursing me out as soon as we walk out of the church doors. So my thing is, you know, in submitting to him, I find it difficult. And I have to be honest, I find it difficult to submit to him to everything. Like I told him the other day, I don't understand how you expect me to trust that God is speaking through you to me about me. When the things that you do and you say to me are not a reflection of God's love.
Right.
So how as a woman, you know, how do you handle that as a woman who's trying to be godly, but at the same time, I'm still battling against the old flesh that tries to rile up inside of me every once in a while.
Right.
I would definitely say, well, you, being that you are married, the two have become one. So God is not going to speak to one and speak one thing, or speak to him one thing and speak to you contrary. It's going to be the same word. So if and being that your husband is under other influences, you know, drugs and the alcohol, and so we know that, you know, there are some strongholds there. So it's definitely some contamination and some, you know, some interference in the word that he's receiving. So you understand that it's not a sound word and is, you know, under the enemy influence. So you really have to hanker down and be strong in your faith. And, you know, and even as you go through this test and this trial, because it may be for you to build you up in your faith and to build you up in your trust in God, that God will see him through and deliver him, you know, from the temptations, from the strongholds, and free him from those things. And here's where, you know, the ultimate act of submission, I believe, is praying for your man of God who is in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy, you know, when you're dealing with those things to not want to pray.
Right.
Because you're being affected. You're being tried. And it's difficult because you're on the receiving end of the brunt of the manifestations of those things. So as you were saying, you're getting the, you know, the curse out, the this, the that, you know, and it can definitely take a toll. So when you're in that state and you can still pray to cover your man of God, to pray for his deliverance, that to me is complete submission.
That's good.
You're submitting to Jesus Christ. You're submitting to who you are in God. You know, so that's my take on that. So when you can pray, when you can still pray those prayers, that's the mission.
And I can relate to what you're saying because I went through that with my relationship. That I prayed. I just stayed in the Word, and when he went through his thing, I stayed silent, and I just let the Lord do what he had to do. And I would give it to the Holy Ghost. I said, Lord, now you see this mess right here.
Right.
It's like, you see this, right? You know, this is my husband. This is a man I took vows with, you know, till death do us part. So he ain't dead yet, so you have to do something. And I would just tell him. It was like, because I need a peace of mind, you know, and I would just pray. But I would leave him alone and let him go through his thing, and I wouldn't provoke him to anger, you know, and I wouldn't let the sun go down on our wrath. We never went to bed angry, you know, and if he was in his state of mind, he slept in the bedroom, or he slept on the couch, I slept in the bedroom. But see, I had a man that respected the God in me, and that was the difference. And he knew that he was hurting me, and so he would keep his distance. So he respected the God in me. So it made it a little easier for me to have a relationship with him. So when he went through his Lazarus experience, it was like, okay, you know what, you get the bedroom for 3 days, you go in your cave, and the third day when you come out, I know you're going to be all right, you know? And so, you know, and then I would go and anoint the room, open the windows, you know, and do, you know, clean the room out and just, but after a while it got tiring. And the only thing is, he recognized that he was hurting me because he was saved. He was a backslider, you know, and the prayers allowed him to see that he was hurting me, so he walked away. And so, you know, God will fight your battles if you do what you're supposed to do. You be submissive, you be humble, and you do what you're called to do as a wife. He'll make a way for you to escape.
Right.
He'll give you the answer, and he'll direct you and show you exactly what you have to do to work through that situation. But the key is humility and to be silent. Be silent. Right. Because you know what? You open your mouth, you know, he's cussing and swearing. Let him do his cussing and swearing. Just keep your mouth shut. Pray under your breath. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind that. Do what you got to do, but keep silent. Don't add any wood to the fire, you know?
Right.
That's real good advice, just to be humble.
That's good advice.
Continue to be humble.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
Thank you.
I want to take a moment to make an announcement real quick, just invite everyone again, give you our information so you always know how to reach us, how to join us here on the Queen's Court where the Kingdom Woman speaks. And you can always pass on this information, www.blogtalkradio.com/Nathan on the spot. That's how you can listen live to us on the internet as well as go back and listen to you can go back and listen to any of our shows, any of the messages, find a wealth of information, find a wealth of encouragement so you always have that at your fingertips. Also, if you'd like to join us and be a part of this discussion that we have on the Queen's Court where the Kingdom Woman speaks on every Monday night at 9 p.m., go ahead and jot this number down and keep it handy, 347-945-5416. Again, that's 347-945-5416, where you can always join in, call us, be a part of discussion, get on the line, press 1, and we'll know that you're here, and we'll get you in on this discussion, because every night we're going to be talking about something, about those issues, about those things that seem to be taboo that we need to address so that we can all the Kingdom Women can come up to a status of being queens and walk in the essence of a queen. And we're not only looking for the Kingdom Women, we're looking for the Kingdom Men to join in as well. We want to know what it sounds like to you to have a king. What does a queen look like to you? We want to get your opinion. We want to get your thoughts. We want to get you involved in our discussion as well, because we're all kingdom people. We're all working towards the same goal, so we want to hear what you have to say. Also, we encourage you to join us for 5 a.m. prayer every Monday through Saturday, again at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you would like more information, visit us on Facebook, New Testament Temple, or send us an email at newtestamenttemple@gmail.com for the conference line information. We also have Morning Manna, our prophetic Bible study where the Rhema meets the Logos and there's a revelatory explosion. Again, if you'd like more information on how you too can join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Monday through Friday, please send us an email at newtestamenttemple@gmail.com for registration information and details. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, ladies, do we have any more on the topic of submission on tonight? It's been an awesome, awesome, awesome show on tonight. Anything else that we
it's
have
been
to
awesome.
Any final remarks, any sayings on submission, any words of encouragement for those who are listening?
Well, I just want to encourage all the queens to know who you are and understanding the power that you have and understand that there's even power in silence and that you have to use your wisdom very well and to allow wisdom to speak to you, because we have to learn how to build a house and show the next generation of queens how to carry themselves and how to conduct themselves and how to operate in a manner of which that allows us to stand out as queens. Many women call themselves queens, but they don't operate and don't have the characteristics of it. So we have to show them what it all looks like. And being submissive, when my husband and I renewed our vows back in June of 2009, I told him and said to him in my vows, I submit unto you and your vision, for I understand my submission doesn't deem me powerless, but it empowers me to understand that I am strong, I'm mighty, and I'm great. Even being submitted unto you. And that was part of my vows, because no one had to add that in, because when you hear that in society, when some do you submit, it's like you've already, it's like the priest of cussed. So, you know, I understand. I didn't have a full understanding before, you know, because the kings that I had were more of a dictator. But when you get a king that knows how to rule, I don't have a problem. Even if he is a dictator, I understand my role as one that knows how to submit. So I want to encourage all the queens that are having issues. You know, the voice, the email has been listed. Our contact information has been listed. If you have questions and need more advice or need more assistance and better understanding, you know, it doesn't end here. All of us are willing to assist in any way, any shape, form, or fashion, that if there's any clarity that is needed, we're here to assist the ladies. So we're just encouraging our ladies to know that we're here for you. Even when the broadcast goes off, we're still available to assist you.
Amen.
And if you desire to get in contact with us directly on the Queen's Court, feel free to send us an email at thequeenscourtnewtestament@gmail.com. So if you have any topics and questions that you would like to hear us speak about on Queen's Court where the Kingdom Woman speaks, you can definitely submit those requests, those questions. If you have any prayer requests that you have, you can feel free to email it to thequeenscourtnewtestament@gmail.com or to newtestamenttemple@gmail.com. Either email, we will definitely get those prayer requests, those topic discussion requests, any information that you would like, any further information you'd like on the ministry, we'll definitely be able to assist you and answer you through those modes of communication. Well, we thank you all for listening on tonight here again at the Queen's Court where the Kingdom Women speak. We bless God for each and every one of you, and we just appreciate the opportunity to pour into you and to help others as we learn ourselves how to walk in the essence of a queen, how to live and breathe and carry ourselves as a queen. And on behalf of the Queen's Court, where the Kingdom Woman speaks, we bid you shalom on tonight. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.